Second reading, if you have your Bible in front of you, John chapter 1, verse 35, or on page 1111 in these Bibles, or actually on the 1110, you'll be on the wrong side. So John 1, 35, and reading to 51. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. Verse 43, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And that's our main reading, which I'll now preach from. But let's ask God for his help to understand it. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you that we have it in front of us and we can read it. But Lord, we ask that you would help us to understand it. May your Spirit reveal its truth and work within us. I pray that you would help me to preach for your glory and that you would help us to see Jesus in his fullness and beauty. And may our lives be changed because of him. In Jesus' name, amen. There are so many testimonies that you might hear of people's lives being changed when they encounter Jesus. Maybe you've heard of C.S. Lewis. He's one of these examples. You might know him from the Chronicles of Narnia, made popular probably through the movies if you haven't read the books. But C.S. Lewis, he grew up in a Christian family. But he lived most of his life, his early life, as an atheist. He believed in no religion, and all religions were just man-made. Christianity didn't even appear to be the best of them. But something changed for Lewis. He went from being dismissive to defending the Christian faith. As God began to work in his life, Lewis was convinced that God existed. And Lewis became conscious and convicted of his sin. And so then he prayed to God and admits that God is God. Now, for someone who's living as an atheist to say that God is God, that's a big change. And later, as he reads about Jesus as God in the flesh, he accepts Jesus as his Saviour. And he says, I have passed on from believing in God to definitely believing in Christ in Christianity. So what we see is that when Lewis encountered Jesus, his life was changed. We see this in his profession. We see it a profession of faith, and then through his further books that he wrote, and then in defending the Christian faith. And in our passage that we've read today, we'll see several encounters with Jesus. All of them where it leaves people's lives changed. So we have two scenes. The first we'll have Andrew and Simon Peter, and then we have the second scene of Philip and Nathaniel. So we'll look at the first scene first, Andrew and Simon Peter. So Jesus, he's beginning his ministry. He encounters many people along the way, and some of these people become his first disciples. These first disciples, they had previously been following John the Baptist. John the Baptist, of course, was preparing the way for Jesus, announcing his arrival and proclaiming who Jesus is. And here we see John the Baptist declaring, well, we see it in 1:29, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God, that sounds an interesting title, but this reference is recalling the account from Exodus in the Old Testament, where the Israelites, they had to put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts, and so that when God saw the blood on those doorposts, he would pass over the house. That lamb's blood symbolized protection and deliverance from God's judgment. So Jesus, as the Lamb, fulfills this prophecy. And this is who Jesus is. This is his identity. John the Baptist is trying to make this very clear. He says Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, when these two disciples, they hear this again, they leave and they follow Jesus. Have a look with me at verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. I mean, why keep following John when he keeps talking about Jesus? Why follow John, who keeps looking to Jesus and telling others to look to Jesus? So it makes sense that the disciples, they begin to follow Jesus because Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the two disciples, they acknowledge Jesus as their rabbi or as teacher. And in this time, a rabbi and disciples, they had different responsibilities. Their relationship between a rabbi and their disciples was very close. The rabbi would train and teach and train those disciples, while the disciples, they would serve the rabbi and follow and emulate the rabbi's teaching and actions. So as you'd expect, this would change their life. Our two disciples, they recognize Jesus as the Lamb of God, and they want to serve and follow and emulate him. They're no longer following John. They now follow Jesus. They've encountered Jesus and they'll now follow him. And so it immediately changes their lives. Have a look in verse 38. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. The disciples' lives are changed. Whatever they were doing prior, they're now following Jesus. They'll go where he goes. They'll serve him and do what he does. And they'll continue to learn from Jesus. And they learn that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. That Christ is the chosen one to bring salvation to all of humanity. So this encounter with Jesus, it changes their lives. And these disciples, they recognize that following Jesus was the most important thing that they needed to do. But you know what? It didn't stop there. They don't just keep it to themselves. They go and tell others about Jesus. Maybe it's like that friend of yours who finds something and has got to tell you about how good it is. Maybe it's a shake or a new diet that they're using, and they lose weight. They feel so good. You've got to hear about it. Or maybe it's cleaning products like Enyo. Cleaning is so much easier. You need to hear about these products. Or maybe you know a friend, a Thermomix. I'm trying to gauge if people are familiar with some of these. Everything in cooking is so simple and easy. It does everything you need. You can get rid of every other gadget in the kitchen. Let me tell you about it. You know what? You get the idea of what I'm going at. They've found something that is good, and they just, why keep it to themselves? They want to share it. You've got to try it and see it for yourself. And so we see this with Andrew here. He has found something so good, he must share it. And so after he encounters Jesus, he goes and he finds his brother Simon. And he shares of his encounter with Jesus. And then he brings Simon to Jesus. You've got to see him for yourself. And so we continue in verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. So again, we've had Simon, we've had Andrew, now we've got Simon, another encounter with Jesus. And it doesn't, Simon's encounter doesn't leave him unchanged. In fact, Jesus gives him a new name. He's now known as Cephas. So Simon becomes Simon Peter. And of course, he's involved in some very significant moments in the rest of the gospel. Simon Peter's life, it's changed forever after he encounters Jesus. And so we have Andrew and Simon Peter. That's our first scene. We have a second scene, and we'll see a similar pattern. So the next two disciples to encounter Jesus, they meet Jesus as he sets out to a new place. Jesus knows those who he wants as his disciples, and so he goes to them. And it's Jesus who finds Philip. Jesus commands Philip to follow him. We see this in verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip, so he encounters Jesus. And he follows Jesus. And it impacts him because he wants to invite others to follow Jesus. So Philip, he goes and finds Nathanael. And Philip tells Nathanael that he has found the one that they have been anticipating for centuries. The one who was promised from Moses' time and through the prophets. It is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. And Philip, he is convinced that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one promised to the people of Israel. But Philip's response, it contrasts with Nathanael's response. Nathanael, he's skeptical at first. Have a look with me at verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. Here we see Nathanael, he's asking a skeptical question. Nazareth can't be the place of the promised Messiah. That's a small, out-of-the-way place. You know, nothing's really happening there. There's no major route that goes through it. It's one of those places. Maybe you blink and you miss it. Wouldn't the Messiah of Israel come to a more important place, like a capital city or where it's all happening? But it's interesting. Philip doesn't try to argue with him. Philip doesn't try to convince him. Philip responds, "Come and see." And so Philip, he invites Nathanael to encounter Jesus for himself, to encounter the real Jesus. Notice here that Philip, he's already becoming like Jesus in doing what Jesus did. Jesus finds Philip. Philip finds Nathanael and brings him to Jesus. And then Philip, it disappears from the story. He has completed his part. And so now it's Nathanael's turn to encounter Jesus firsthand. Nathanael doesn't know Jesus, yet Jesus knows Nathanael. And Jesus knows that Nathanael is honest and genuine. Jesus knows all about him. Jesus, of course, knows this because he isn't just another human. We know from this passage that Jesus is the Lamb of God and Messiah. But Nathanael, he's yet to know this. Nathanael is initially, he remains skeptical until his direct encounter with Jesus. Look with me at verse 47. We see his encounter with Jesus. When Jesus sees Nathanael coming toward him, he says, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." Nathanael asks Jesus, "How do you know me?" Jesus answers, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Nathanael replies, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answers, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." Jesus continues, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This encounter, it's significant here because of Nathanael's response. You don't say to somebody, or you don't say that someone is the Son of God and the King of Israel flippantly. I don't think that would ever come up in a conversation, that you would be like, you would just say those words without any meaning. And you don't say it just because someone guesses that you were sitting under a fig tree recently. We don't know what Nathanael was thinking about under the fig tree, and we don't know what Jesus was referring to with this. That remains unclear. But what we definitely know is that Jesus proves that he knows Nathanael and that Jesus is God. And so Nathanael, he moves from skepticism and doubt to affirming faith in Jesus Christ. It's not Philip's persuasiveness that changes his life. It's Nathanael's own encounter with Jesus. And this encounter between Nathanael and Jesus, it does appear cryptic, but it's so rich in meaning and symbolism. John wants us to see with Nathanael who Jesus is. And so, Jesus being the Son of God, he directly connects Jesus with God the Father. Jesus is one with the Father. The Father is one with Jesus. They enjoy a perfect unity and intimacy. And Jesus being the King of Israel, he is the promised King, the Messiah King, and that Jesus will rule his kingdom, and that this kingdom is not of this world. It is a heavenly kingdom, and God sends Jesus to make it possible for us to be with God. And that's what we see with heaven opened and angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That image is drawn from Jacob's vision of the ladder in Genesis 28. Jesus has been appointed by God. Jesus doesn't just point towards heaven. Jesus himself is the way to heaven. And so it's in Jesus that God comes from heaven to earth, doing what we cannot do for ourselves, to lift us up into relationship with him and giving us eternal life. So you can see what's here. We see two scenes of people encountering Jesus. And first it was Andrew and Simon. Second it's Philip and Nathaniel. But every time someone encounters Jesus, their lives are changed. They follow Jesus and then they invite others to follow him. So as we consider this passage today and we think about how it applies to us, there appear to be two positions for us today to reflect through. First, for those of us here who haven't yet encountered Jesus, if you haven't encountered Jesus yet, it's so encouraging that you're here at church with us. For us Christians, there's nothing more important than Jesus. And I would encourage you to look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? Who did he say he was? Yeah, look at his claims and the answers that he gave to people's questions. It's all recorded here for us. Yeah. The invitation from Jesus' very, very words. What are you looking for? Maybe you're like Nathaniel. You're skeptical of Jesus. That's okay. Christianity is a robust faith and it's great to wrestle with questions. Maybe you're thinking, is Jesus fiction? Or is he just based on historical fact? Is he really God or is he simply a great moral teacher? Even C.S. Lewis, he wrestled with this. And he came to this conclusion in his book, Mere Christianity. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must take your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he was a madman, or something worse. Like Nathaniel did, come to Jesus with your questions. Get to know him. There's plenty of historical evidence for the person and the work of Jesus. So please come and speak to an elder or someone who invited you here today if you have any questions. So like Jesus did with these first disciples, he invites you to come and see. Or maybe the other position is you have encountered Jesus and you know that your life has changed. Jesus has changed you and continues to change you. We can't encounter Jesus and live our lives the same way when we see Jesus for who he is. We don't simply live without impact on our lives. Our lives are changed forever. How does this happen? Well, first we trust that he does take away the sins of the world. He is the Lamb of God. And when we encounter Jesus as the Lamb of God, we repent of our sins. We ask for forgiveness. And we acknowledge that there's no way for us to be forgiven. There's no way for us to save ourselves without the blood of Christ shed for us on the cross. He's the Messiah and we aren't. We rest in God's grace and mercy to us in Jesus. And second, we submit to his authority as king of our lives. From the other Gospels, the disciples, they dropped everything to follow Jesus. The family business, their possessions, their homes, and we know that all of them lost their life for following Jesus, except John. Following Jesus meant costly sacrifice. And of course, it does look different for us today, but with this still that same challenge. Because when Jesus calls us to follow him, it means we follow him in every area of our life. to die to our own self-sufficiency, and we entrust ourselves to him, to believe that Jesus has mastery over our whole lives, not just one part or a few parts here and there, but over everything, over the way we use our time, our energy, our money. Perhaps you're following Jesus and have seen your life change through encountering him. Is Jesus continuing to impact all the decisions you make and how you live? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to change you into the likeness of Christ each day? Of course, submitting to Jesus as Lord and Savior means inviting others to encounter Jesus. After experiencing God's grace to us in Jesus, how can we not share the hope of Jesus with others around us and invite others to encounter Jesus? We read Psalm 34, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Maybe it's as simple as inviting someone to church, or saying what church means to you, or how helpful it's been in your life. Maybe someone's going through a tough time, or there's family troubles. Maybe you can pray with them. Or maybe there's others in the midst of a divorce, or lost a spouse, or feeling lonely. As we saw, it's not about forcing or convincing people. It's about inviting them to encounter Jesus. So you see what we've seen in this passage? When you encounter the real Jesus of the Bible, your life will be changed forever. So if you don't know him, come and see. And if you do know him, keep trusting and living for him, and share and invite others to put their trust in him. Let's pray. Thank you, God, so much for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you sent your Son Jesus into this world to save us. Lord, we thank you for these encounters with the disciples and the different ways that they responded. But Lord, each one saw you as the one that they needed to save them, and that we can't save ourselves. Lord, if we don't know, or we're uncertain whether we truly trust in you, would your Holy Spirit cause us to respond, to put our faith in Jesus alone? And Lord, if we do know him, Lord, would you work within us in all areas of our life so that we become more like Christ? And Lord, for anyone you have on our hearts, may you cause us, stir us to invite them to church or to a carols or for a meal where we can share about you. Lord, we thank you that you do love us and you change lives. And we ask for your Spirit to continue to work within our lives each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.